بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن سار على نهجه وما استنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد. الله أكبر، الله أكبر، الله أكبر، الله أكبر، الله أكبر، الله أكبر، لا إله إلا الله، الله أكبر، الله أكبر، ولله الحمد. الله أكبر. For all the Muslims around the world who have fasted and observed the month of شهر رمضان. Allahu Akbar for the Muslims around the world who have been coming to the Taraweeh and reciting the Quran. Allahu Akbar for all the Huffaz who have been leading us in a Taraweeh. Allahu Akbar that we have finally completed yet again another Ramadan, another month in the record books bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from us our siyam. May Allah Azza wa Jal accept from us our qiyam. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from us our righteous deeds. Allahumma ameen. Ayyuhal Ahbab, my short message for you for Ramadan 2016. We are running out of time. Would you agree that this Ramadan is perhaps one of the quickest Ramadans to ever pass by? Would you agree that in this day and age, time is against us, meaning it's moving so quickly that our deeds and our habits can't keep up. Our mistakes, there isn't enough time for us to keep making them and rely on seeking forgiveness. You have to keep seeking forgiveness more and more and more and stop depending on, I can fall into sins, I can fall into mistakes and just make it up later. There may not be the opportunity for later for you and I. One of the greatest lessons you take from this 1 month of spiritual therapy, this 1 month where we all have a sense of refreshment, if you'd like, our souls, our iman, our vision, our goals, everything now is refreshed. We are ready to start again. Allah Azza wa Jal kept us alive in 2016 because we have what it takes to carry the message of the Quran. We have what it takes to wake up tomorrow, insha'Allah ta'ala, and be proud of who you are. Be proud that you are Muslim. Be proud that you are mu'min. For all the brothers who are here, all of the husbands, all of the fathers, Allah Azza wa Jal told us in the Quran, in Surah Al-Furqan, وَجَعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. He's taken men and He's made them muttaqi, but more so imama. They are imams. When are you an imam? Every single man is technically an imam. And he is especially an imam inside his home. Every single man has a sense of leadership, has a quality that they need to lead whoever is in or within their responsibility. Allah says that the ingredient you need to make yourself a real man is you need to have taqwa. You need to make sure that if you're married, that you give your wife all of her rights. If you haven't paid her her mahar, you need to make sure you give that to her. You need to make sure that there is Islam in the house. It's the man's job. It's his primary role that he is the one that preserves and protects Islam in the house. It's not his wife's job to keep coming after him and say, did you pray already? Are you going to fast? Are you going to go to the masjid? She can remind you, but you can't depend on her. Allah called us the imam. It is our responsibility as fathers, as husbands, and as men, that the thing that really brings out our manhood is that we are leaders when we fear Allah Azza wa Jal. And we bring our families along. We encourage our families. We encourage our children. We monitor their behavior. We look at them. If we see that they're struggling, it's the man's job. You're the one that's supposed to go to them and remind them and uplift their spirits, uplift their soul. That's what we got in Ramadan. In Ramadan, we all saw that we could worship Allah more. Didn't you see that? We all saw that we could come to the masjid and we can do extra ibadah. And if you're somebody that's struggling to pray, that's struggling to fast, how did it feel in Ramadan? Don't you see you have what it takes to carry this message? You did it for an entire month. And then the sisters, Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah once said, that a woman, she gives birth to the ummah, and she also nourishes the ummah, meaning she's nursing that child. So together, she not only gives birth, but she also takes care of the entire ummah. That enough is a stamp of leadership for you. That enough is a stamp for you to at least feel inspired that you also have what it takes to carry this message of the Quran. Anybody in 2016 who discourages a woman from taking part in her Islamic duties to be part of the movement of da'wah, wallahi, doesn't know what they're talking about. Islam could have never survived without women. It would have never been born without women. As a matter of fact, did you know that more than 10,000 hadith narrators are women? Did you know that there does not exist one female narrator of hadith who has fabricated a lie against the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam? Imam Bukhari rahimahullah, his first teacher was his grandmother, Imam Bukhari rahimahullah. And if you want to look at some of the contemporary scholars, Shaykh Uthaymeen rahimahullah, the same situation. His first teacher was also his grandmother. Some of the greatest scholars to ever step foot on the face of this earth are women. And so, our beloved sisters, our mothers, leaders of this ummah, what I want to say to you, inshaAllah ta'ala, is if you want to raise the next Abu Bakr, or the next Ibn Taymiyyah, or the next Umar ibn al-Khattab, or anyone remotely close to these giants of Islam, then the first thing you're going to have to do is you, the mother, understand and realize you are the first public school for your children, the first middle school, the first high school, the first college and university, the first professors that your children have, they call them mom and dad. So you have to make sure that you have Islam in you. You have to make sure that you have the qualities of religion in you. Allah told us in Quran, قُوْ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا. Protect yourself and your family from the fire. And so my message for the sisters, always remember one beautiful hadith of our Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He told us, in a hadith Qudsi that Allah Azza wa Jal said, He spoke to the mother's stomach. He spoke to the mother's womb and He said to it, سَمَّيْتُ لَكَ بِإِسْمِي. I named you after my name. The name of a mother's womb in Arabic is called Rahim, which is the root word for Rahman. So scholars, they say, if you want to have a glimpse of the mercy of Allah, then look at a mother and how much mercy she has with her children. She's pregnant, yet she has to adjust the way that she sleeps, the way that she walks, what she eats, everything in that she consumes, the child takes it away. The child doesn't have to pay rent. It doesn't have to go buy groceries. It takes away all of her energy, all of her vitamins. When she has to change the child will poop on her, will spray her. And you know what she does in return? She loves her child. She says, "Oh, my child is so cute. My child is so beautiful." That's what a mother is. Take that love that you have for your children and attach to it the love you have for Islam that you can instill with your children. A home that does not have Islam is a home that will never taste the sweetness of contentment and happiness in this world. There will always be problems in your life where at some point you're just going to say to yourself, "I can't handle this anymore," unless you have Islam. And then I look around and I see so much young people, mashallah, tabarakallah, so much young people. For our youngsters, our brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. One day, you have the potential to be standing right here, not on the minbar, to be standing in the position of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Don't have the vision that you want to give a khutbah. Don't have the vision that you want to climb these stairs one day. Have the vision that you want to carry the legacy of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Not LeBron James. Not an athlete. Not these figures, these celebrity figures that we get so distracted by them. Earlier on, for the young people, I reminded you, I told you that the NBA finals happened in the month of Ramadan. If you're one of those students that was guilty of missing Taraweeh and staying home just so you can watch ball, let me ask you a question. How do you feel today? What did LeBron do to you? What did the NBA do for you? It moved on and left you behind. Just like when somebody dies, the world continues to spin. You were nothing. You had no value, no purpose. All that you gained is that you lost a night of Taraweeh. Or you were lazy, or you weren't focused. I'm not saying this stuff is haram. What I am saying to you young people is build some sense of dignity, some sense of pride in yourself. You have an entire future where you can become things and people and leaders that you decide you want to be, whatever that may be. But it's not going to happen if you constantly keep distracting yourself with bad friends, bad company, too much TV, too much phones, this and that. If you are in your life looks like this, I want you, for young people, I want you to take your heart and place it in the state of spiritual emergency. And get it back to where it's supposed to be. The last and final message that I will leave is a collective message for all of you after the Jalsa. My brothers and sisters, on this beautiful day, may Allah Azza wa Jalla accept from us our good deeds. May Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala accept from us our acts of worship and forgive us of our shortcomings. Allahumma ameen. Aqulu ma tasma'un wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum wa risa'il muslimin min kulli dhanb. Fastaghfiru innahu huwa al-ghafurur rahim. بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. I'm standing in front of you here today, brothers and sisters, not just for the IIT community, not just for the Muslims in Toronto. I'm standing in front of you here today praying, making dua, and thinking about my brothers and sisters in Bangladesh, my brothers and sisters in Iran, my brothers and sisters in Syria, in Palestine, in the United States. I'm standing here today praying and making dua for my brothers and sisters who are always subjugated to scrutiny, racism, and discrimination simply because they call themselves Muslims. I'm standing in front of you here today praying and making dua for all of you who have tasted what discrimination is, Islamophobia is. You've tasted it, you've seen it, you've felt it. I'm standing in front of all of you here today praying that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for us. May Allah azza wa jal give us the strength. 2016 doesn't seem to be getting any easier for us. Unfortunately, it seems like things are getting worse before they get better. I'm standing here in front of all of us collectively as a Muslim community so that all of us could feel and all of us could pray that may Allah Azza wa Jal accept all of our brothers and sisters who were killed and who have died unjustly. May Allah accept them from the shuhada. May Allah Azza wa Jal reunite us with them fi Jannatil Firdaus al-A'la. May Allah Azza wa Jal make the affairs of the Muslims easy here in Canada, in the United States, and all throughout the world. May Allah Azza wa Jal give us the patience and the strength that we respond to discrimination, to racism, to Islamophobia with the most and the best Islamic etiquettes we know how. May Allah Azza wa Jal continue to strengthen us to be good people. May Allah Azza wa Jal continue to honor us in this world and in the Akhirah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continue to increase us in Iman. Make us proud of La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And having said that, I conclude with a happy note. This is Yawmul Eid. And by Allah's mercy and Allah's blessing, we are safe and sound. And we have the opportunity to enjoy the blessed, joyous, happy occasion of Yawmul Eid. So I'm going to conclude with a personal statement from my heart. Wallahi, to all of you, you are looking and you are listening to a brother. Wallahi, as I stand, Ushhidullahi al-Azim, Rabbil Arshi al-Azim, Anni uhibbukum fillah. I stand here in front of all of you and I swear and I testify in front of Allah that my heart loves this community for the sake of Allah. And I just hope and I pray that we continue to have a close relationship for Allah, that we continue to look out for each other and we have one another's back and we support each other and we learn from each other. I hope and I pray that this is a continuous relationship, not only in this world, but also in the Akhirah. One day I hope that if we don't get an opportunity to sit like this again, one day I hope that somewhere in paradise, I will see some of your faces and you will see mine, inshallah. And we'll be sitting by some of the rivers, drinking honey, drinking milk, enjoying each other's company, laughing and talking. Relax, عَلَى الْأَرَائِكِ يَنْظُرُونَ. We'll be leaning back on reclined chairs and sofas and reminiscing about our life and how much we love Allah and how much we love to see Him and talking about all the beautiful things that no one can imagine, only the people of Ahlul Jannah can imagine. May Allah Azza wa Jal give us His Jannah. May Allah Azza wa Jal give us His paradise. May Allah Azza wa Jal give us Jannatul Firdaus al-A'la. Allahumma ameen. And I conclude from my family to all of you, I wish you all an Eid Mubarak. Kullu amin wa antum bikhair. Fataqabbal Allahu minna wa minkum salihul a'mal. Now is the time. Show one another, mashallah, how much you care. Greet one another, say the salams to each other, and wish each other Eid Mubarak. Jazakumullahu khayran wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.